kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
It's Smarticle.
What?
It's Smarticle.
Where the hell did you hear Smarticle?
I don't know. What do you mean? It's just a thing.
Because it's a joke that, like, we make with my sister because she talked about her smart particles. Her Smarticles.
It's not just a you thing. Like, that's been a thing.
I've never heard that before my sister and then now. So that's why I'm confused. I've never heard Smarticle anywhere besides my sister.
It's a thing that middle schoolers used to say all the time. God. She's like, I'm so Smarticle.
Oh, my God. Oh, what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, CJ. CJ, how you doing?
Eh.
Helpful. Helpful.
Eh. I'm all right. Jeez, how much do you want? Do you want me to tell you my entire day?
Yes, how was your day?
My day started, and then it's here.
Also joining us today, Cole Martin, Eternal Rage. Eternal Rage.
I feel like that guy called me Rahaji that time because I won something in the stream. He was like, Eternal Rahaji!
Rahaji! Like,
oh, for a good 15 minutes. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, that's not it, but cool.
You're not going to correct him because you want your stuff.
Ethereal, like, Rahaji.
I've been called Internet Rags before. Like, people just butcher my name all the time.
How?
I don't know. It's H. You would think that H wouldn't throw people off that bad, but it totally does.
Rage. Rage. Cole, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm tired. It's been a really slow, like, it's not often that I start a show and I'm sitting here wondering what the fuck are we going to talk about today? But really, what the fuck are we going to talk about today? It's 4th of July week for the people who are listening to this long after the fact, which means, like, nothing came out this week. There's been very, very little news. There was a little bit of news that showed up today that we could talk about, but for the most part, like, nothing happened this week.
Yeah. I mean, there's still that good sale going, so...
Yeah, the Xbox Ultimate Game Sale's going on. We talked about that last week. It's going on through the end of the weekend.
New deals with Gold went up, and a big game that we were all about for a little while, Use Your Words, is on a huge discount.
Yeah, Use Your Words is $5 this week, so if you're hearing this on time, make sure to grab it. When the Ripstone Gals were on, we were talking about how they sometimes play the Jackbox games, and I mentioned, hey, you should check out Use Your Word sometimes. It was in the Steam sale, and I actually used my Steam credit and bought it for them to play. They played it this week. They were loving it, talking about how it's on sale this week. People in the chat were buying it on Steam and on Xbox. So
I actually saw them playing it on stream. I was there when they did.
Oh, were you?
Yep, I was lurking. Sometimes I'm around.
Because I showed up. Like,
she lurks a lot.
I showed up for their last game.
Yeah, I saw them play quite a few, but I was working on some art in between, so I wasn't chatting or anything.
I just found out the game got changed, like the rating got changed. It's an M rating.
Really?
Now. Yeah.
That makes sense considering some of the answers that answers.
I don't think that even the answers I've seen, like, they don't seem M rated. They seem kind of like high T. But, you know, there's no outright, like, hardcore profanity in the game. There's not dicks flopping around.
No, there is some sexual references, though.
I don't think it's M-rated level, though. So it's weird. I even asked, because I was chatting with them, like, why did the game get, like, was it an update that you put new content in that it's an M-rated? They're like, no, the ESRB just went back and retroactively changed it. I'm like, why? And they're like, I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
It doesn't matter that much. It's not going to change very much that happens.
No. So I asked if that opens the door for dicks flopping around in upcoming DLC.
And now they can say they're the first ever online. What would you call that? Just a Jackbox style game that's M rated. There's not really much of a genre name for
that. I know the genre needs a name. That's what we need. Exactly, we need to find out.
Jackbox games.
Because it's like the Dark Souls games. They're pretty much called Soulsborne games now.
Yeah.
Which I think Souls-like is better because Bloodborne is just the one game.
Yeah.
But
it's just because it was made by the same devs.
Yeah.
So they do that.
I think Souls-like is better than a Soulsborne.
And nobody calls Telltale games a point and click. They call them Telltale games.
Yeah.
Because that's the style of it. Even Life is Strange is often compared to a Telltale game.
So, what the hell do you call the Jackbox style of games?
I don't know. It's hard to come up with that.
You can't even really call it a party game because you can play it online, while broadcasting. So.
That's my first thought. Is because it is sort of a party game, but it's also not fully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not much of a game that you actually play on your console either. It's you have to play it with other stuff. So
it is a phone-based trivia and party game.
There you go.
Which just flows off the tongue.
Multimedia.
Please don't ask me to repeat that.
Something, because you can use laptops or anything. Doesn't matter.
It's like Walking Simulator and how people never like that. I still like a Walksploration.
I started using that.
I think that's a good term for it. The developer of the game Submerged actually mentioned that on the show. He said that he liked the term Walksploration, and I'm like, that's really good. I like that. So I prefer that over Walking Simulator.
I mean, I get it, because Walking Simulator is basically a term that kind of makes fun of the games more than endear. It doesn't sound very endearing, whereas Walksploration sounds more nice. But that's what they're just called now, so I'm just like, I don't mind the name. It's weird, but...
Yeah, I think Walksploration is a lot better than Walking Simulator, because there is a lot of exploration and... just looking around and enjoying the scenery in games like that, and it's not just walking in a lot of them.
Oh, by the way, Joe.
Huh.
I hit 169,000 gamer score.
Cool. What the hell?
I don't know why that's.
I am at 355,518.
You have how many games compared to me, though?
Two.
Yeah, you have 1,143 started games on your account versus my fucking 271. I don't want to hear it.
Speaking of games, I guess we could dabble in some of the news that came out this week. PlayStation has officially started adding PS4 games to PlayStation Now.
Yay.
What kind of rules are they going to tack to that, though? I don't even know how PlayStation Now actually works, so I'm probably not the best person to even ask a question
it's
about this.
It's similar to Game Pass, but instead of downloading the games, they're streaming.
Yeah.
You stream.
Yes.
You still have to play them with a controller, though.
Yeah.
That seems like it's really heavy on data for people who have data
capture. Oh, it very much is data heavy. And then if you don't have a good connection, lag out the butthole.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
And you have to pay for it on top of, it's not part of PS
Plus. No, and it's $20 a month versus the Game Pass is $10. It's really not that great of a deal. It's just, it's useful if you don't have a PlayStation 4 and you have great internet. But if you can afford a great internet, you can probably afford a PlayStation 4 if you really want to play them that badly.
They started off with a fairly small but decent lineup of games. The PS4 games that are available to play as part of PlayStation Now right now are Killzone Shadowfall, God of War 3 Remastered, Saints Row 4, WWE 2K16, Tropico 5, Ultra Street Fighter 4, F1 2015, Darksiders 2 Definitive Edition, Evolve for CJ, MX versus
why AT- so many games that are already on, like, people want the exclusives.
Yeah, I'm sitting here saying there's a lot of these that are on Game Pass as well.
And MX versus ATV, like Supercross Encore, Rezogun, Helldivers, there's some exclusives. Broken Age.
Well, Helldivers isn't an exclusive on PC, has it too.
Well, it's console exclusive.
If
we're going to talk about exclusives on Xbox,
well, Xbox doesn't truly PC, have exclusives anymore.
If we're going to talk about exclusives on one platform and ignore that they're on PC, we're going to be fair. Like, it's a console exclusive.
I've never been that guy, though. I always say at this point, Xbox doesn't have exclusives anymore. It's like it's Microsoft exclusive, but it's not Xbox exclusive.
I still think console exclusive counts. But Broken Age, Dead Nation, Apocalypse Edition, Grim Fandango Remastered, Akiba's Beat, Castle Storm Definitive Edition, Exist Archive, The Other Side of the Sky, Nidhogg, and Super Mega Baseball. So yeah, a big chunk of games that are part of Game Pass are also part of PlayStation Now, which makes sense.
It disappoints me, though, how much of them weren't exclusives. Like, the main reason to get that is if you don't have a PlayStation 4, you want to be able to play the PlayStation 4 exclusive games still.
No.
So not having them is like, well, I guess there's no point. And if we're and plus, to go back to the console exclusive thing, we're talking about streaming them to PC. So if it's available on PC, then it's not really that useful still.
Yeah, but I mean, that's in addition to all the PS3 games that are available. I mean, we shit on PlayStation Now for the fact that it's streaming only, which I fucking hate. I can't get over the fact that it's streaming only. But
completely pointless for most people.
But yeah. Now, including all the PS4 games for the $20 a month, there's over 500 games available. So they're not fucking around with library size.
No. But you're also not, going to get... I don't know. It's not that bad. It's just, it seems like a lot because of the price tag.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it feels like its faults are heavier than its benefits, if that makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Like, when you add up the price and the streaming, and that there's not that many exclusives on it, then you feel like, but I'm biased. I don't know.
I mean, when you look at the PS3 lineup, there's a shitload of exclusives there. It's just the initial PS4 lineup isn't heavy in exclusives. Although funny to note is that the European PlayStation Now has significantly more PS4 games available. Like, not just like it's more than double the size of the American lineup.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know why. Some of the extra titles are Heavy Rain, Tearaway Unfolded, Counter Spy, Shadow of the Beast, Alien Nation, Escape Plan, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, Hardware Rivals, This War of Mine, The Little Ones, Day of the Tentacle Remastered, Sherlock Holmes, Crimes and Punishment, Dungeons 2, Back to Bed, Pure Chess, Pure Pool, Ollie, which I have no idea how it's going to work well with any kind of internet input lag. How quick of reflexes Ollie requires. Stick It to the Man, Blood Bowl 2, Super Stardust Ultra, Farming Simulator 15, Tour de France 2016. So there's two huge ones.
Yeah.
Air Conflicts, Pacific Carriers, Grand Ages Medieval, Pure Hold'em World Poker Championship, Qbert Rebooted, Fluster Cluck, The Last Tinker, City of Colors, Velocibox, one of our favorites, Whispering Willows, Kick Beat Special Edition, Battle World Chronos, and Legend of K Anniversary.
Yeah, what the fuck?
All available for European PlayStation Now gamers, but not for America.
That's odd list and decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not like there's a huge amount of those that really piqued my interest when you were reading them. It's still like there's so many more. Like, why? Is there any games that were like American exclusive then?
No, not that I saw.
I was trying to cut through and try to like maybe there were more like UK-based or European-based devs in that group, but it doesn't sound like it, so... I don't understand this logic. I'm not.
It's not like it's games that were only released in Europe as well.
It looks like there's a good chunk of THQ Nordic games which are European. But aside from that, it just seems like stuff that's been everywhere. And I don't know. It's weird. Maybe they'll. I'm sure they'll eventually make it to the American lineup.
Yeah, but it's still I hope so. It's weird. Yeah,
it's still. It's definitely a much more impressive lineup when you say, "Hey, PS4 games are part of PlayStation Now," and then you look at 40 titles. You're like, "Hey, that's pretty cool." And then you look at America, and it's like 12, and you're like, "Eh."
Yeah, it's like if that was the entire thing, I could see $20 actually being somewhat worth it, at least for a couple months to get through all of those.
No,
but don't. In Europe, aren't caps on internet more common?
I have no idea.
I feel like it is. I don't know why, and I'm probably wrong. And I hope somebody says I'm wrong. But if it, like if caps on the internet are more common there, that makes it even. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But then again, caps on internet are more common in a lot of states too.
No.
It's not.
Well, see, we don't
I just happen to live somewhere that doesn't. Yeah, really have that.
Redneck Land doesn't do caps on internet yet. Don't give them any ideas. But they, so far, everything is good, and I can stream my little heart off here. So I don't care. But it just seems to me like places where that's an issue, even with a shit ton of titles, you're gonna go, I can't download and play them, or I can't stream them and play them, because I'm gonna eat up my data within like 2 days and I'm done.
Yeah, I think the whole streaming thing is honestly what kills PlayStation Now for me. If you were able to download and play at your own time and at your leisure and not have to worry about connection issues and stuff like that, I think it'd be a lot easier to just swallow having to pay that extra amount per month, especially with the size of the library. But I don't want to stream,
because it is almost five times the size of Xbox's lineup. So it's not like the asking price seems high, but the amount of games in it actually far outweighs the Xbox price tag.
Yeah, especially something like God of War or Killzone. Those are like 40, 50 gig each. How the fuck are those going to be streamable?
Streams. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They really should go to a download basis. But at this point, they probably won't, because it's just going to take a lot. It'll take a lot more effort to actually figure out.
I guess the only problem there is if it was downloadable, they would have to find a way to make a PS4 natively run PS3 games.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why it's never been like that, but it would be nice if at least the PlayStation 4 games are like that.
Yeah, especially with how big they are. But who knows?
But if Xbox did it, I'm sure that PlayStation could eventually learn how to do it. They're just not interested in doing it.
Probably.
That's true.
Well, I mean, that was the whole thing that was going around for a while, is that the one PlayStation exec said that he doesn't see the point in backwards compatibility. Nobody wants to use it.
Yeah, and they also kind of stopped caring about indies the way they used to. Yet, for some reason, indies are still, like, rock hard for Sony, so who knows?
There's oh, what is the name of it? That one that was just announced. Last Day of June? Is that right?
Yeah.
And I was so excited when I saw it, because it absolutely looked like something I'd play. And it was, like, PlayStation and PC. I was like, okay, yeah. Fuck you guys then.
Yeah.
I don't understand, but okay. You are now out of my wish list.
I don't get it either. Sony's ready to write a check to lock up a game for a year so that no one else could play it, but you know, they're not going to bother promoting or talking about the game.
Yeah. They don't make any kind of hoopla over. Come to think of it, during their E3, did they have any indies?
No.
Or an indie showcase? Yeah, nope. I didn't think so. Like, there was, like, a 20-minute span of indie showcase. The closest thing was the VR. Yeah.
Because there were a couple of indie VR titles, but that was it.
Yeah,
because... That's because there's not enough big companies working on VR.
Yeah. Like, that's another thing, is it seems like... I'm worried that Sony's already starting to give up on VR.
Which would be surprising considering it's the best-selling VR already. Yeah,
Farpoint came out, and that was a big first-party title, and then I haven't heard anything since. Like, where... Capcom, with Resident Evil 7, is one of the only true big VR games, and everything else is just small-budget indies. I don't fucking know. One of the other cool things about the PS4 games on PlayStation Now is that apparently if you play those online, they do not require PlayStation Plus to play online.
Okay, that's kind of cool. So that includes that $20 a month does kind of include the, at least the ability to play those games online.
Yeah, but only those. It's it's not all your other games. I'm thinking because you're streaming it technically from someone else's account. I'm guessing you're streaming it directly from Sony's account, so I guess they're covering PlayStation Plus for you.
But if that was the case, then you couldn't unlock trophies through your account.
Yeah,
you'd unlock it through theirs.
I don't know how this shit works.
Yeah, I highly doubt that's the case. I'm assuming they're just like they're just removing the restrictions built within game for PlayStation Plus so that you can play them for free with not actually having PlayStation Plus.
Maybe. And then something else that's weird is it's saying on the PlayStation blog, you can copy your PS4 save files back and forth between your PS Plus cloud storage, PS Plus obviously required, and the PS Now cloud save storage. So you don't just have a universal save cloud? Like, they have to separate everything and you have to copy shit back and forth?
That's really stupid as well.
If you decide to buy the game...
You'd have to move your save.
That's so fucking stupid.
That's complicated, really complicated and weird. Yeah, exactly.
I think we're spoiled on the Xbox side because everything just magically gets done for us. And we're like, oh, look at that.
Yeah,
and then you hear what PlayStation and you're like, no, pushing 4 buttons is hard. Screw you guys. But we're a little spoiled.
It's like Xbox is kind of... not kind of, but they're losing a lot in terms of game library, but at least on the hardware side and technical side, shit just works.
Yeah. You really can't knock it. I mean, if I load up a game on the PC and I play anywhere, and then I go and I play it on the Xbox, I've not lost anything. I've not had to switch shit around, and it just is.
And that's pretty nice.
When you're a lazy gamer.
and the ability to... Even games that transfer saves, you don't have to keep the game installed. Like with I was worried about that with The Walking Dead because I had to transfer my Walking Dead Season 1 save to the Season 2, but I had already deleted Season 1 off my hard drive. And then when you delete something off your hard drive, it deletes the save off it too because it's in the cloud. But it was nice that it, like, when I went to start up the game, it pulled up the cloud and said syncing for that game.
No.
And so that I wouldn't have to actually reinstall and launch the game to get the stuff back. It's just, it worked. Yeah, and so that was pretty nice. By the way, I'm finally caught up on all the Walking Dead stuff. God, it's so good. I need Season 4. I need Season 4.
Well, there's no word on a Season 4, but, Minecraft Story Mode Season 2 is hitting July 11th.
Yeah, I need to play that. I started Game of Thrones last night, and then I'm going to work on Minecraft. I'm just trying to pump out all the Telltale games, because I'm loving them right now. They're so good. I love them. Game of Thrones is surprisingly good, too. People, I don't even like the show, and I'm getting into it.
I don't know. I kind of gave up on The Walking Dead show. After the whole Negan killing someone cliffhanger that they sat on for months on end, and then the show came back and they immediately just kept the cliffhanger going for half the show. Fuck it. I gave up. That was the last episode I watched.
I gave up in Season 3. I stopped watching a long time ago.
No,
it got to the same point where, I mean, even the like that. You're never actually in one place. You never find somewhere that's safe. It's constantly the same thing of things go bad. They never stay good. But it's, at least in the game, it feels like there's more variety to it, and you like the characters more. The only character I like in the show, and I don't even know what's going on with that, you know?
No.
It's just like, I hate Rick, I don't care about his fucking kid.
Coral.
Yeah, fuck him.
Carl.
I like Glenn. That's it.
Well, I have some bad news for you.
I know, and I'm pissed. I'm not interested in ever catching up on the show again.
Some other fun news from Sony. This is the bad side of things. Their game, The Tomorrow Children, which has only been out for a few months now, is ending on November 1st in Japan, and probably very soon after for the rest of the world.
What kind of game is it?
I've never played it, so I'm not sure.
But is it like an online game?
Yes, it's an online, servers required. It's Sony. It seems Sony puts out so many of these online required games, and they've been shutting them down within like a year and a half, that I don't even bother with them anymore.
Yeah, because you're just going to lose all your stuff, and if the game has microtransactions, God forbid you wasted money on them.
Yeah.
When the game's going to be gone soon. I don't know, that's stupid. They need to do a better job of advertising that shit, because I've never even heard of that game before.
Do you want to open that package a little louder?
I'm sorry, I had to get my lemon water.
Are you going to share with the class?
Oh, fuck you, buy your own lemon water. Although I'm drinking way too much. I've already finished a bottle. But I'm going to have to piss so bad.
The Tomorrow Children released September 6th, and they already announced it's shutting down.
Wow, not even a full year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
I mean, when they shut it down, it'll be like 1 year and 2 months, but...
Oh, okay. So you still got quite a bit of time if you want to finish things up.
Yeah, it says the game's termination date is November 11th. But then somewhere else is saying November 1st, so I don't... Like, they can't even get their shit right on what the date is. It's just shitty that they make these games, they put so much development time and resources into these. I'm sure it took them longer to make the game than they leave the servers active. What's the point?
Yeah.
I'm at a loss for words. Like, because I... What? Yeah.
A year and 2 months.
Why do you even bother... Even if you make a game with the quickness and you have a huge team working on it, you're still going to be at least a year and a half.
A year on a good day. And 2 months. The game is shut down. That's just depressing.
Meanwhile, Defiance, which barely has...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right. Cool. Defiance, which barely has 500 users a day, is still running. They're keeping it up just for those people because... Fuck.
Battleborn is still going, and they have like less than 100 people at a time on Steam.
Yeah.
Three. They have three players, but they love those players.
I think last month they said the average player count was 87 on Steam.
Wow.
Through the month, average. 87.
And that's right after it being like in bundles too.
Yeah,
like it wasn't too long ago.
When does go? Where they made that with the free to play the multiplayer
on Steam?
Is that only on Steam?
Yeah. No, you can download the trial version on Xbox as well, can't you?
Do they?
I'm pretty sure it's just to be that way eventually. I don't know if it is yet.
It might.
I'm pretty
be.
Sure it that it already is, but it's like. It's just a trial version, and then it might not be, though.
They said trial, but, like, there you can play the multiplayer unlimited.
Yeah, it has a thing. I went to the webpage. It says try for free. Mm. So you can play the game for free right now.
Man, I'm amazed. We don't have shit to talk about today, but our chat room is kind of hopping for once. We got No Pulse Swizzlers, Latino Heat, and No Time for Games all hanging out. So,
I don't even know to all of you.
Especially No Time for Games. I haven't seen you before. Welcome to the party. Welcome to the show. I apologize because there really isn't anything to talk about this week.
Well, we're making quite a decently long conversation. We are.
Some other conversation. I know we're probably all excited for this.
Yeah.
The Halo Summer Celebration has kicked off with some news, including the reports that Halo 5 Guardians will be enhanced 4K for Xbox One X. So that's pretty exciting. And then,
can you imagine though what the install size for that is going to be?
God damn, it's going to be
already at 100 gig as it is. So
I'm guessing like 175.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be a giant file.
I mean, they already confirmed Forza 7 is going to be 100 gig.
I need to get another external at this point. I'm down to 200 gigs.
I'm going to need another external at this point.
Will art for hard drives. I used to art for codes. Now I've got too many codes and not enough hard drives. So will art for hard drives.
Too much.
Those are much more expensive.
Oh man. And then
my art is expensive, thank you.
The other fun news is they confirmed that the rest of the Halo games are going to be hitting backward compatibility this year, including Halo 3, Halo 3 ODST, Halo 4, and Halo Anniversary. So,
fucking four more finally. Games. Finally, they showed Halo 3 at the fucking announcement of the thing. And it's like, oh my god, I've been waiting forever for Halo 3.
You know, they've just been sitting on that. It's been ready to go, and they've been waiting for
I'm hoping that it's the case of, like, very soon it'll be... They might do, like, one Halo every week or some shit for a little bit.
This was another week without any additions, though, so that's wonderful. We had a bunch last week, and then we're back to nothing. Yeah.
That's true.
But all the... isn't all the Halo... 360 Halo DLC is going to be free.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
With the backwards
compatible, it's already free too. Halo Reach's DLC is already free. At least I already grabbed that one.
Cool.
I need to grab Halo Wars DLC. I'm annoyed though because I just fucking bought the Game of the Year edition of Halo 4 like 2 months ago, and I haven't played any of the DLC yet. And now it's free. I bought it so that I could get the achievements, and get all of them, and now it's fucking free anyway. Like,
good job.
Now I have two physical copies of Halo 4 for no reason. I have basically
come to a point where I refuse to buy any Microsoft first-party products because eventually it's going to be Game of Gold, or they'll give it away for some reason or another. Like, I'll just wait.
I'm not going to be like that because I can't wait that long for some games. Like when Halo 6 gets announced... Even though Halo 5 is already in the Game Pass and 6 will probably be in there within a year, I'm still going to buy it right away. I'm not going to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've wanted Ori for since I bought my Xbox. We ended up getting the Assassin's Creed Xbox, so I didn't get Ori. And every time it's on sale, I sit there with my finger on the button and I'm like, because as soon as I buy this, it's going to be Games with Gold next month.
It is going to be.
And then I don't do it. Yeah, it's
probably right before the next one comes out, because then they're going to want to have people play that so that they're hyped and they want to play the next one.
Yeah.
Especially since it is an exclusive, so they have the rights to do it. Like, Microsoft published it, so they can do it whenever they want.
No.
That's what they did with Forza Horizon to build up hype for Forza Horizon 3, so... Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Swizzlers is asking in chat if any of us got anything from the Steam or the Xbox sales. I know we talked about this last week, but I spent way too much on the Xbox.
Yeah, so did I. I got paid last night, which I should have been paid the day before, or like 4 a.m. So it was like Thursday. I'm supposed to be paid on Wednesdays, but the fucking holiday. But I immediately spent $75. And I'd already spent
75.
Like,
that's adorable.
And I'd already spent 25 before then, so it was $100 I spent so far, and I'm debating more.
Yeah, I went kind of crazy because a lot of people have finally caught on to the fact that GameStop had a massive trade-in deal going on, and people found some great ways to abuse it. By the way, there was earlier this week on like Sunday and Monday, people were saying that you could get a. What the hell was it? Garden Warfare 2 from like Best Buy or Walmart for $20, and base trade in at GameStop was like $27.
Yeah.
Wow. And
if you traded in 6 or more games, that would go up 70%. There were people who would trade in like 6 cheaper $15, $20 games from Walmart that would cost them $95 to $100, trade it in for like 200 plus.
The only issue with that is like it's locked into being GameStop credit. So yeah. It's like you do have to have the money to be able to actually afford to do that, because it's not like you're going to get 200 actual dollars. But yeah. I saw a lot of people that were saying that you can turn 150 into 500.
That, because for, people, the Xbox One X. People would trade in those games, and then GameStop was always doing a buy two, get one free on used games. So they would use that credit to buy games and then trade those games right back in for even more profit. Someone said that they started off spending the $100 at Walmart, and they ended with like $750 in GameStop credit when they stopped trading.
Jesus, like you gotta know that that's like that GameStop employee is so fucking annoyed with you because of how much you had to deal with.
Some of them would just like jump from GameStop to GameStop too. They would just
I could see doing that a little better, because then it's like, you don't look as fucking stupid.
Yeah. You spend $100 and you end up buying an Xbox One X, a Switch, Breath of the Wild, a couple of other games. It's like I want to know how many copies of Garden Warfare 2 GameStop is sitting on now.
Probably all the copies of Garden Warfare 2.
It's crazy. But even without abusing the system, like I just traded in stuff that I had sitting around that I wasn't playing, or I would go through, see the values of the games that I have with the 70%, compare them to the games that were on sale on the Xbox store. Like I traded in couple $100 worth of games. I ended up buying from the Xbox sale. I'm just gonna go down my list because I have the receipts hanging out in my email. Stardew Valley, Dark Souls 3 Deluxe Edition, Doom, Titanfall 2, Witcher 3 Complete Edition, Steep, Lego Marvel Avengers, Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens, Little Nightmares, Thimbleweed Park, Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series, Get Even, Cabela's African Adventures, Kona, WWE 2K17 Deluxe Edition, and the Crew Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how much I get back in Xbox rewards next month.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty excited for that. And I'm not even like, I'm only one star right now. I'm almost at two now. Because before I had a job, I had no fucking money to spend. So I actually was not even a star. I wasn't getting anything anymore. But now that I have a job, I spent so much. Like, I'll go down my list real quick. It's nowhere near as big as yours. But
I don't think it can be.
I bought Mantis Burn Racing, Far Cry 3, Manual Samuel, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Expansion Pass, since I actually own the game already, Song of the Deep, Forza Horizon 3 Porsche Car Pack, because that was a good deal, Beach Buggy Racing, Uncanny Valley, and Use Your Words, which weren't a part of that sale, but I bought them last night as well. Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor Game of the Year Edition, which is fucking $4 right now.
I was going to say, I hope you got it now, because it's free to play this weekend, and then for the sale, it's $4.
For that game, yeah, and all DLC. I also bought Life is Strange Complete Season 1.
I've been playing Life is Strange.
Yeah, I noticed you did. That was your 50th completion or something like that. And then I bought The Walking Dead Season 3, which I've already gone through because I bought that a few days ago. I couldn't wait until I got paid. I had enough, so I was like, fuck it. And I bought, I can't find the other one. But I bought one other game, too. I don't know where it is. But yeah, oh, cool. I bought quite a bit. And I'm pretty happy. I can't wait to start. I'm debating Far Cry 4 Gold Edition and Far Cry Primal as well, but that's like $48 right there in those two games. Like Far Cry 3 was $10. It wasn't that bad.
What about you, Eternal?
I actually haven't bought anything. And the only thing I wanted was Little Nightmares. So
well, that's only $13.
Yeah, only. You know, starving artist syndrome, but
I also just recently grabbed The Calling because I had extra credit, and I'm like, fuck it, why not?
I wish I would have bought it on Steam when it was 15, because I'm not really interested in on Xbox, because I know the achievements are going to be horror, and it's not really a game I'm that into. But I would have given it a shot at 15 back when it was in very early access.
Now it's 25. How does The Calling play? Is it asymmetrical like Friday the 13th and Dead by Daylight, or is it asymmetrical?
No, it's completely like, or is it solo,
free for all
Hunger Games, or you can do teams
like battle royale style.
Yeah, it's like H1Z1.
I know a lot of people were complaining about it not working and demanding refunds and stuff, and I was kind of like,
"Yeah, that was a big problem." I don't
understand how game preview works. That's the whole point of game preview, is to buy it when it's still a little shady so that you get the deal and you help test it. People were so
happy. No, people want games to work right away, even if they're in game preview.
They do.
Speaking of which, I'm thinking about buying Subnautica as well. I really wish that Slime Rancher would have been on sale. It hasn't been on sale in a little while, and I want to pick it up so badly.
Well, you still have through the weekend.
I haven't seen anybody stream Slime Rancher, play it, talk about it, or anything. Every time I see it, I'm like, that looks so cute, and I don't know jack shit about it. Not a thing.
The saddest part is, like, I'm still considering if I want to get The Walking Dead Season 3 for $15. City Skylines is 32. There's
The Walking Dead Season 3. It was a really good season.
There's a couple of Xbox 360 games I'm still looking at, like Metal Gear Rising for 10, Remember Me for 5, Armored Core for 5. I'm thinking about
Spec Ops The Line for 5. Real quick, I'm going to say a small thing. It's like at the beginning of the game, but if you don't want to hear it, just like me for a second about The Walking Dead. It's not an actual spoiler. It's just I find it disappointing that we don't play as Clementine. Like, I was hoping to play as Clementine, and we were playing as
Javier.
I mean, it wound up working out really well, and I wound up caring about them anyway. Like, Telltale did a really good job of making you care about characters that were never introduced before.
Yeah.
I guess it's not really a spoiler. It's just saying that you don't play as the same character. But it annoyed me, because I would rather be playing as Clementine and deciding what she says, you know? It's like, it's just weird that now she's based off of what you did before.
I wonder, though, if maybe they'll do it where, you know, one season you're somebody that Clem's with, the next you're Clem.
See, I don't want to talk anymore, because I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say that, because that's really spoiler.
Yeah, don't. So, yeah, I forgot I bought some 360 games, too. I got Ms. Pac-Man for $1.25. Because I apparently never had Ms. Pac-Man. I had it on the Namco Museum arcade disc, but I never actually owned it by itself. I got XCOM The Bureau for $3, Tomb Raider Underworld and Tomb Raider Anniversary. So, way too much. I have problems.
I am not jelly of your backlog. I am a little jelly of your backlog because it has Little Nightmares in it. But otherwise, you can look at all those games that you're not going to have time to play.
It's only $13, Cole.
Seriously, it's only $13. Just grab it. What are you waiting for?
Money.
Excuses. Money.
Tell people that hire me for art to actually pay me, and then we'll
go fucking
shiz for free. Fucking tell him, like, give me fucking money for this.
Yeah, shiz has a subscribe button. He could afford to pay you now.
Yeah, I'm giving him $5 a fucking. Well, I'm not giving him $5 a month. Twitch is giving him $5 a month because of my Prime membership.
Fuck, someone got shiz a controller. He could give you $10 for your artwork. He could give you $13 for Little Nightmares.
I'm not bothered by shiz so much as I had some guy message me the other day when the sub emotes went live, and he was like, yeah, I want you to do my sub emotes. I'm like, okay, cool, here's my price. And he's like, I can't afford that, I'm only 17. And I'm like, well, then what the fuck?
Motherfucker, that's old enough to get a job.
How much does your logos cost, out of curiosity?
Logos?
Yeah, for like a YouTube logo or something.
Like, it kind of just depends based on how much you want done, like how custom. Just like, if I'm going to sit and be drawn for a while, you can usually assume it's going to cost about $10 to $12 an hour.
See, that's an hour. I thought you were saying like $10 to $12. Like, that's not that bad.
I'm pretty quick is a good point. Like, you know.
Like, I'm thinking like maximum that I'd ever spend on that is like max, if it's really good, would be like $25.
Well, see, like, I've done entire Twitch channels before for, you know, $40, $50.
And, see, yeah, that's a lot more than what I'm talking about. I would be like, I need a logo. I want a logo. But I know how to do this stuff myself, too.
In comparison, There was one guy who had messaged me before, and he was like, oh, you did this for me 6 months ago, and I already paid you, and now I want it all reworked, and I want a completely different set, and I want a discount because I paid you before. And I was like, yeah, I don't have time for that. I'm sorry. The funny thing was, he was like, well, then do you know anybody that can help me? So I sent him to some of the other graphic artists that I know of, and he come back. He's like, they want $200. Yeah, I know. You were getting a deal out of me.
How dare people want to be paid for their work?
Yeah.
So, you know, at the time, you know.
Either pay somebody or get good and learn how to do it yourself. I mean, that's what I do.
I'm the asshole making fun of them when Randall did both of our logos for the show for free just because he wanted to help the show. And all the theme songs I've had are friends who are just like, yeah, man, I'll make you a new theme song. And then they would just do it. So I'm lucky that I have friends who just are bored enough to do shit for me.
And I don't care to do free stuff for friends. You know, if I'm like, hey, look, I got time, I'll do that for you, don't worry about it, that's one thing. But
is that what happened with Shiz? Asked,
yeah. Yeah.
Actually, you let him have your work for free?
And Shiz is good for business because I'm like, hey, look, go look at his and see what I can do. And then
that's true. He's good advertisement.
And but, you know, if somebody that I've never met, I've never talked to, don't know from Adam, sends me a DMs like, well, I'm young and I want this for free. And then I'm sitting there going, okay, well, let me go to a car dealership and be like, I can't afford that. You should just give it to me for free and see what happens.
Exactly. That's stupid.
Let me know how that flies at McDonald's.
Interestingly,
okay?
I won't say what's going on, but recently I heard a conversation going on another podcast, a rival, if you will, although
you
we have
whore.
No chance. Well, it's not like that. It's like a 200,000 views kind of podcast that they don't talk about gaming. But either way, they were talking about how he spent like a lot of money on a controller, and he tweeted out to them like, you know, thanks for this awesome controller. You guys did a lot of custom work, and it's like normally the controller would be like $80, but it was like $200. And then other people started tweeting him like, you're ridiculous. Why would you ever spend like that much money on a controller? And he's like, you don't get the point that they put the work into that. It's not because it's an $80 controller. It's because they did stuff and made it a nice controller and put their time and effort into it. That's why it's worth $200.
No.
Yeah.
And it's like, that makes sense. Like, people need to stop being so cunty about shit. It just makes sense. People are such bitches sometimes.
Yeah. But what are you going to do?
I got us derailed, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Fine. We needed something to fucking talk about for this.
Yeah, there ain't. They're really. Again, there wasn't much news this week. I'm scraping for news. The only other things I'm seeing is that the Cuphead developers have confirmed that the game is completely Xbox and PC exclusive.
Which isn't that surprising.
I thought that was the case anyway.
I really didn't think that was.
So like when you're, oh, Cuphead's on PS4, and I'm going, I thought everybody knew that? Yeah. Why are you surprised?
I think it's been a general assumption. It's just been never completely confirmed. But they did confirm that they own the IP. So although it could be a situation like the first Titanfall, where that one is lifetime Xbox exclusive, but the following could show up elsewhere.
Hmm. Rocket League got an update for the birthday.
Yeah,
those
the anniversary
some crazy
update.
Easy achievements too.
Yeah, there's some interesting ones that I'm gonna have to try out that I'm not sure what to do with.
And then the last bit of news that I saw is that some modders are apparently working on the Nintendo Switch, and embedded deep in the Switch firmware, there's an NES emulator like tucked away.
Ooh.
So it looks like it might all be ready for old school retro gaming. We just never know when the fuck it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just put there to tease people who mod and hack the system.
Yeah, they're never going to actually use
it. Just to get their hopes up. Just like, watch what we're going to do, guys. Like with the Xbox One S, when they did the little laser cut Master Chief inside, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, but mean.
Gotcha, fuckers.
It's an Easter egg, but mean. There's no candy in it. It's full of snakes.
Ah, good stuff. Anyway, we have some games to give away. Do you want to... Should we give some shit away?
We shouldn't do it.
Well,
they always get cherry.
We're giving shit away because we have some copies of Grim Legends 2 on the Xbox One from our friends at Artifacts Mundi. And we asked people on Twitter to email us and tell us why they want the game. And as it stands, we've got 4 emails sitting in my inbox right now, unless someone in chat decides to send one last minute. But I have ample codes to cover all of those.
Ooh,
so everybody, everybody who emailed is getting a copy of Grim Legends 2.
Grim Legends is...
I should email real quick and be like, fuck you.
At my discretion. So if I see one from CJ Greenwood that says fuck you, I'm gonna be like, no, send.
Okay, bye.
But the first email is from Lucky Cal, who says, we would like to win Lost Grim Wars 2 because as a family we have completed the first one and are looking forward to the next installment. I think the Artifacts Mundi games remind me of the classic point and clicks like LucasArts Monkey Island, which I thoroughly enjoyed as a child, and it's fun to play these new age versions with him. We own quite a few Artifacts Mundi games. Thanks for the opportunity, Callum, Katie, and Lewis. Guess what, all three of you, you're gonna play the second one.
Ooh,
they got the name wrong.
That's three codes right now.
What name did they get wrong?
They said Lost Grim Wars instead of Grim Legends.
Eh, what are you going to do?
I just outed it. That's all. Sorry, guys.
It's very possible I read it wrong because, like, I'm half asleep right now.
Wake the fuck up. Come on.
Next email is from Leon Claymore, who says, I hate reading, but I want Grim Legends so much I'm willing to put an effort in. Looks cool. No extra effort needed for gore script, though. It's all about the killing, which I already do, and very well. So these two together would make for a fine, diverse, and really, we need that in our society. So, yes, you're going to get Grim Legends, and you're going to get gore script, because we're still sitting on some gore script codes, too.
So. Yay!
You get a code, you get a code, everybody getting codes.
Everybody getting codes. Billy P. emails in, he says, what's that, another opportunity to win another Artifacts Mundi sequel? After winning both Nightmares from the Deep 2 and Enigmatis 2 from you guys, and the two being the only Artifacts Mundi games I've played, you'd think I would have bought and played some of the others. And I will, but I can't turn down the opportunity to win another sequel. So, Billy P., you're going to win another sequel. That's just how it happens. That's how it goes.
We got to break the streak.
Latino Heat writes in, and he says, good evening to the SML podcast. I've always been a huge fan of point-and-click genre. I see myself playing as the healer and traveling to the legendary realm of Swan Kingdom with a mission at hand to find the missing prince and unravel the mystery behind the family curse, and also becoming a hero and saving the queen, and my portrayal in the game will help the fate of the entire kingdom. If given the opportunity, thanks so much to the SML podcast for the chance to save an entire kingdom sent from my iPhone.
You can't play it on your iPhone, but you get a code.
Indeed. And go figure.
You can if you buy the iPhone.
But you gotta buy it for $3.
Go figure. Yeah. While reading these off, we got 2 more emails. I wonder if someone in chat emailed us. Like Michael Brody, a.k.a. Swizzlers, who says, Grim Legends looks like a fun game. I spend most of my time at work looking for stuff. Wish I could look more in a game. Michael, you're going to start looking for shit in a game.
Look for all the things.
And then John Prudlow, who says, I love Artifacts Mundi and their puzzle games. I'd love a copy. Cool, because you're getting one. I'm gonna guess that might be No Time for Games. That's my guess. And then yeah, Michael probably. Barodi again, who says, Gore Script sounds like a fun game. I never played it. Definitely would like to play. Guess what, motherfucker? You're getting a copy of Gore Script. So, yeah. Codes for everyone today.
It's raining and cold.
If I was quicker, I would have done it, but I'm not going to do it. I was just going to write Slippery Cock.
Slippery Cock. CJ Greenwood, you are not getting a copy of the game. You can suck on that slippery cock.
That's okay. It's only $6, $10, something like that. It's $10.
Numbers are hard.
And then if you haven't kept up with us on Twitter at the SML Podcast, we are currently doing another Gleam giveaway. This for a copy of Micro Machines World Series. We have six days left in this one, and we are already at 387 entries. This might set a record for our show.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
So jump on our Twitter, look for the link, enter to win, and you might win a copy of Micro Machines. We'll have a review of that coming later on, probably next episode, something like that. It's fun. I'm digging it.
That's the review. We're done. Bye. Yeah.
That's your review. Win it. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's our giveaway. We did our giveaways.
Yay. That was so hard.
It was.
I hate not having to choose winners. Oh, my God.
We're working up a sweat giving away all this shit.
I love being able to deny people the right to play a game, though.
You're such an asshole.
It's a motherfucker.
Oh, man. You guys ready to talk reviews? Because we have a handful of reviews to take care of today.
No, but let's do it anyway.
Tough shit, because it's happening.
I just said let's do it anyway.
Tough shit, because it's happening. Hey, CJ.
I have deja vu.
CJ.
What?
It's happening.
That's
tough
great.
Tough shit. Cool. It's going to happen. So first game to talk about today is called Marvel Heroes Omega, developed and published by Gazillion. It released June 30th on Xbox One as a free-to-play title. It was previously available on Steam and PS4 in closed/paid beta. Includes a large number of microtransactions for in-game currency or heroes, though most items can be unlocked through gameplay. Marvel Heroes Omega assembles one of the largest gatherings of iconic superheroes, villains, and locations from the Marvel Universe in gaming history. Band together with fellow adventurers in Earth's mightiest action RPG, take the fight to Doctor Doom in an epic 9-chapter story campaign and experience your favorite heroes, including Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Wolverine, Deadpool, and more. I know the first thing on everybody's mind is going to be the microtransactions in this game. So I talked with the PR team covering this, and I asked them for a statement on this. And instead of me trying to explain it and everything else, I'm just going to read their statement on this. Because as of right now, there are, I think, 5 or 6 different DLC packs available in this store, ranging from $20 to $50 for character packs. And I know a lot of people are going to see those and lose their minds and be like, fuck this game. I'm not dropping $200 on characters just to start off. And because everyone's going to get worked up about that, I figured I would ask for an official statement on this. And this is what they have to say regarding the transactions. Regarding the prices for founder packs, we understand that the pricing can seem high at first glance. Perhaps the following can help put things into perspective. In Marvel Heroes Omega, all heroes, with the exception of Iron Fist and War Machine, are free to play up until level 10. We also have an in-game loot drop called Eternity Splinters. Every enemy in the game has a chance to drop the splinters, which can be used to unlock additional heroes. After completing the prologue mission, you'll also get a big Eternity Splinter reward, which will allow you to choose from most of the heroes in our growing roster of playable characters for a free unlock. Keep on playing, defeating henchmen and supervillains, and you'll continue earning Eternity Splinters, which means more free heroes to grow your roster without spending any real money. We also have Daredevil as a free hero as a thank you just for taking the time to check out our game. Purchasing any of our Founders Packs will help players unlock some of our most popular heroes without having to wait. All costumes that come in these packs are purely cosmetic and offer no real advantage in terms of gameplay. Hope this helps better explain our approach to free-to-play. For the most part, real money purchases are reserved for unlocking heroes immediately, cosmetic items like costumes, boosts, and loot boxes. So there you go. I can confirm that you don't need to spend a penny to enjoy this game. The game style is basically like Superhero Diablo, which I'm sure is going to sell people right away on a lot of people who might be on the fence about checking this game out. Top down isometric view, and you start off the game with a tutorial. It starts you, I forget the order of the heroes. I think it's Captain America first, then Black Widow, then the Hulk, just to let you check out a handful of the different heroes through the prologue. You end up defeating the Green Goblin, and then you're kind of on your own to do whatever you want. You go back to the Avengers Tower, which is basically the hub for the game, which has like stores you could check out, storage locate or storage lockers to keep shit in that you're not using. From there, you just progress through the story, pick up different quests that you have to go through, travel through giant hub areas that will lead to smaller dungeons. And it's very much an MMO style game where in the hub areas and the open area, I guess the joining, like if you're playing in the city, you'll see dozens of other players running around killing, well, maybe not dozens, but at least a dozen or more, somewhere around there. Just other heroes running around, shooting, fighting, enemies respawning. It's really cool to play a Diablo game that's basically an MMO game as well. So there's just a ton of people hanging out, fighting together, taking down supervillains, and you know, it's cool to team up with like seven different Spider-Men to take down fucking Magneto. But as they mentioned, you can play any of the heroes in the game except for the two that are locked to like certain packs or certain unlock bonuses up to level 10. Once you hit level 10, you can still use the character as much as you want. You just will not gain any more experience until you either use those Eternity Splinters to unlock a character, or they have a second currency in the game that you could use to unlock characters or buy boosts. Or if you're, you know, if you have extra money laying around and you just want to fucking buy some characters, you could do that if you want. The characters are pricey if you're using cash, but in-game, it depends on what character you want to use. Someone like, I don't know, Wolverine or Deadpool are going to be significantly more expensive than fucking Hawkeye, because no one cares about Hawkeye.
Poor Hawkeye.
Yeah, it all comes down to what hero you want to use. And, you know, given that they have dozens of heroes available, you're going to be able to find characters that you like. And the fact that all of them, or nearly all of them, are free to play up until level 10, it's easy to find a character that you enjoy, and then you can use your currency to purchase that character. The achievements in the game will require you to eventually unlock, I believe, 6 different characters and get them to level 60. So it will be a grind to get that, CJ, because I know you're an achievement whore. But the game, holy shit, am I having fun with this game. They have the standard campaign where you just go from area to area taking out baddies and everything else. They also have like patrol sections where it's just kind of like a giant cityscape that you run around and you know, they have live events happening that you have to go and work with other people to take care of. There's tons of content in the game, tons of different things to do, dozens of heroes to test out and unlock eventually. The fact that you don't need to spend a penny makes this such an easy game to recommend. It's, you know, free to play. We can't really say a buy it because it's free. There's nothing to buy.
So, fuck it, why not?
I firmly believe that Marvel Heroes Omega is going to eat up way too much of my life because it's superhero Diablo. It is a blast. I wish it would have come to Xbox sooner. It's kind of shitty that it was exclusive on PS4 for so long in closed beta, especially given the fact that PlayStation doesn't even have a game preview program. Like, release that shit on Xbox. They have a game preview program. That's the point of that fucking program. But I definitely stand behind Marvel Heroes Omega. Try looking past the DLC that's in the store and actually try the game, because once you put time into it, you'll see that you don't need to buy anything. It just... real money will make it easier to level up with boosts quicker, or to unlock heroes that you might not want to spend the time grinding to unlock, but it is not required at all, since you can play as every hero up until level 10. So you don't even need to bother with money to try out all the heroes. So yeah, awesome game. Give it a go. You two should check it out too.
I probably won't.
I think I downloaded it and then uninstalled it just so that it was in my ready to install for some time eventually.
Why do that with a free game? That makes no sense.
Well, because sometimes they might go free, not free after, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe something crazy will happen and it'll get discontinued and you can't just re-download it.
Yeah, but if it gets discontinued, then the servers are going to be shut down and you can't play it anyway.
Yeah, true.
Stop talking logic, CJ. I don't have time for this.
Oh, man. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Ghostblade HD, developed by Hucast Games, published by 2Dream and East Asia Soft, available on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $9.99. Physical release is hitting Play Asia, I believe, in the coming weeks for $29.99, limited to 3,000 copies. That's why we're talking about the game now. It did release a while back. But just like one of the other games we covered recently, I forget the name of it, Alchemic Jousts, I believe, got a physical release on PlayAsia, so we have the opportunity to talk about the game again. The physical release is for the PS4 version, but we're going to talk about the Xbox version of the game. Ghostblade HD is an intense bullet hell shoot-em-up game with satisfying and addictive score-based gameplay, with its inspiration going back to the shooting games of the 1990s. Ghostblade HD ties old memories to current tones and techniques. Cole, you covered this one for us, so what did you think? So I could give my voice a rest.
You're starting to sound a little rough.
I'm talking too much.
Shmups, shoot-em-ups, whatever you want to call them, they're not my particular favorite genre. And I usually, like, will play one, complete it once, put it down, be like, okay, well, I'm done. That's the best I can do. Ghostblade was a little different, though. And I found the bullet hell aspect of it a little more daunting than some other shmups I've played. Like, I just felt like it was a constant barrage. But the mazes that the bullets make and the patterns, they're really easy to memorize and navigate, even though there's so many of them. And once you destroy a ship, then it has the added benefit of the bullets. They turn into stars and disappear. So if you can, you know, keep the enemies thinned out, you're not really getting overwhelmed with the bullets anyway. I'm just bad at shmups, and I kept getting overwhelmed. You have three different ships you can choose from, piloted by three different characters. I'm going to give them one bonus point for all characters being female, and I'm going to take away two bonus points because they're all mostly naked. So, that's an anime thing, and I know and I get it, but at the same time, I was just like, come on, somebody put a shirt on these girls. Otherwise, bonus point for the three female protagonists. If there is a story, I couldn't figure it out. There's no description of what's happening. There's not really any explanation of, oh, hey, you're piloting this ship and destroying these enemies because why? None of that happens. You just pick one of the three ships and shoot and get to the boss. And then you shoot some more, and you get to the boss some more. And it does that for five stages. There are only five stages in this campaign. It's very short. You can do it in about 20 to 30 minutes, even on hard.
Well, that is one of the joys of bullet hell games, is they're short campaigns, but, you know, a lot of reason to replay and get better scores and do better and learn the patterns.
Exactly. There is a local leaderboard. I never saw anything in the way of an online leaderboard. I was even trying to actively search for it. Either I'm really dumb and couldn't find it, or it ain't there. But
could be a little bit of both.
It could be a little bit of both. But either way, there is the local leaderboard. It is kind of cool when, you know, the local leaderboard comes up. You get to put in your initials, like, you know, when you play an old school arcade. I'm old. TJ probably doesn't know what the hell it is.
In our days.
Fucking whippersnapper over there. But,
goddamn kids.
That's really neat when you get to, you know, I got number one for the leaderboard and I get to put in my name.
Leaderboard.
Yeah, I think basically, like, as long as you don't die in the first 30 seconds, you get to be number one. But it adds the extra little layer. You want to try to beat yourself and do better each time. So you do keep going back to it, even though you can bowl through the whole campaign in a half hour. You will spend 2 or 3 hours just, you know, plowing through it. As a matter of fact, there's an achievement for playing for 2 hours, and I had already beat the game on hard and had to wait and leave it on to pop that achievement. And I was like, okay. But, you know, but even though I didn't complete it, there's, yeah, I'm not. some of the score requirements for to complete it are insane. It's like a 5 billion in one run. Good luck with that. Somebody's done it, I'm sure. Not me.
Again, that's the joys of bullet hells is to that, just get better and replayability.
I'll say it plays really well on Xbox. I mean, the buttons do what they're supposed to do. You have do wish that the triggers were shoot, though. Like, I wish there was either, because you use A to shoot, or you can use X to consolidate all your bullets into a single stream, so that you target one enemy. Like, it's really good for using on the larger ships and the bosses and stuff, other than the more sprayed out bullet lines. But if that was like left trigger and right trigger to do that instead, that would have been a lot better. For some reason, they've gone with X and A. But you get used to it. I mean, as with anything, if you play it enough, eventually you just kind of adapt to it. But it would have been nice if it was triggers instead.
Bitch.
There's always something in there.
Like, I understand that why it's A and X, but it would have been nicer with triggers. Even though I understand, I still agree that it should be nicer with triggers. Even though I think it's okay, I still think it would have been nicer with triggers. Okay, that's what you sounded like. You just kept fucking doing that.
Okay.
So what buttons were they on?
X and A. Not the triggers. Shooting is for triggers. Ah, okay.
I still don't understand what buttons they were on. I'm very lost in this situation.
They were on X and A.
You think they were on the triggers?
Yeah. Not the triggers.
Maybe the bumpers. Did you try the bumper?
That would have been better. They could have even been on the bumpers and it would have been better than X and A.
No, bumpers are for grenades.
Yeah.
There are no... There's power-ups in this, but there's no, like, I couldn't figure out. I think they just kind of auto-use themselves.
They were probably on the triggers.
I beat the whole game on hard, and I never figured out how to do the power-ups. I was like, I think they're just automatically working. I don't know. People are dying, and I'm cruising along. There is one thing, though. This can be played co-op. And you should play it co-op.
Nice.
But, it glitched when we played it co-op.
Maybe you shouldn't play it co-op.
If you want to beat it on hard, you're going to play it on co-op.
So what glitched?
The glitch happened when you start off with 3 lives, and if you lose those 3 lives, you have to press continue, like the old school, you know, arcade games. And you start off with, I think, 4 or 5 tokens. And then the further you get and the higher your score, the more tokens you can rack up, and you can even get up to 9 continues total. So I was playing with number 1, and she exhausted her continues. For the remainder of the game, nothing shot at me. I destroyed everything. The bosses didn't shoot back. And that was...
Then how did you not get the 5 billion achievement?
Because that's for the survival thing, and you can't do that in co-op. Yeah, that little survival mode is limited to what it is. But it can't be done co-op. So anyway, it only happened in co-op when, you know, you could glitch it, but... I want to say it shouldn't glitch in that kind of way, but it makes it a lot easier to get the achievement.
No wonder you beat it on hard.
I did it on hard on my own, but I played with number 1 on normal, And then that's when we discovered that it was doing it. And then we went back and did it on hard and easy, and it glitched both of those times, too.
Oh, because, okay, so it's a continuous, like, it'll always happen.
It's a glitch, and I was like, oh, that's kind of bad. But apart from that...
Ruining it for people that haven't done it. Reporting it to the devs means that they'll fix it.
Sorry.
Well, the game has been out for a while, so...
Yeah,
that's just like us with the Crypt of the Serpent King and reporting that you could cheese that to level up quickly, and it's just like they patched that.
Hey, I got my 1,000. I don't give a shit.
Same.
I'm not ever gonna buy it, so because I didn't get the 1,000, so I'm done. And if it's patched, but
it's only $3.
It was on sale for $2, or it was. It might not still be, but it was probably on sale for $2.
I still think for that cheap, it's definitely a fuck it, why not?
Yeah, I agree.
It is kind of hard to turn down a game, even no matter how good or bad it is, for $2. You're like, but it's a game.
Seriously, it's fucking $2. Just fucking buy it. Jesus Christ, you cheap bitches.
I got that sitting in the couch cushion somewhere. Hopefully, I don't know. But
so anyway, a Ghostblade for $10. What do you think of this one?
Buy it. Yeah.
It's what about for $29.99?
See, but that's for a physical version with like a soundtrack and other shit. So that's, you know, physical collectors limited to 3,000.
That's more inclined to hardcore fans that are really going to want to plunk down that kind of money for that kind of memorabilia anyway. But for $10 digital, if you like shoot 'em ups and you don't care that it can glitch on co-op, hey, have at it.
Or maybe you like that it can glitch on co-op and you don't want to ruin by somebody like you. Joking.
Sorry. You're not joking. You're mean to me, CJ.
I've been told that a lot. Even people at work say I'm too mean.
This is guest abuse.
And you're not much of a guest anymore.
Oh. This is regular abuse.
But yeah, the physical version is very clearly for the hardcore collectors out there. It's very much in similar vein to like the signature series that some companies are doing, or like limited run, stuff like that. So the people buying these are very much the collectors. And the fact that it's only limited to 3,000 units, I think, is enough of a draw to make up that extra money. You know, instead of $30 instead of being 10, but it also comes with reversible artwork, a collector box, a numbered paper showing what number your copy is, and a soundtrack disc with 14 songs. So if you're a fan of the game,
Eternal, you're not that smart.
What'd I do?
There's an achievement, literally the first one, upload its score to the global leaderboard.
Oh. Really?
Yes.
Well, I'll be damned. I really did poke around. I was like, I can't. I don't see.
That's hilarious.
On that note, next game to talk about. What? What?
Don't worry about it. What? Shiny objects. What? Go ahead.
Quick, look over there.
I was going to say, chances are good I probably even have the achievement popped and just don't even know it.
You would, because as soon as you finish, you would upload a score. It automatically does it. It's like the first achievement, what most people earn right away.
Good stuff. So yeah, next game to talk about is called Aria, developed by Triangle Studios, published by Sidesco. It released June 30th on Xbox One and PS4 for $39.99. Previously available on Steam, a deluxe edition is available on PS4 for $59.99. Includes 8 avatars, 3 static themes, a dynamic theme, and a soundtrack. Aria is a music-themed action RPG in which you play as one of the great maestro Guido's disciples and explore Azir, a floating island that was broken into pieces. Your mission is to find and return the 9 primordial instruments to restore balance and peace to the world. You have to find your way through all parts of the scattered islands, complete quests, solve puzzles, defeat bosses, and discover the truth behind the islands. Will you be able to return the 9 primordial instruments? I can, yes. I know, CJ, you covered this one back on Steam, right?
Yes, I did.
I've
played this too.
Oh, you've played this one?
I played this too.
What did you think of this one?
I did like a 1,000-word review on it. and I gave it like a 7.3.
No, I'm not going to fucking read. Jesus, what do you want from me? No, I know a lot of people have been kind of shitting on this game on Steam because of how easy it is. I kind of appreciate the fact that it's an easier game. There's a lot of time. This is another game very similar to Diablo in the isometric action RPG. There's a handful of different classes that you could start off with. I went with the melee class because I like beating things with instruments. You go through a handful of stages. Unlike Diablo, they're not randomly designed stages. They all have a very set design, but they have random placements of where you could start, where you can exit, where you can move to the next area, enemy placements. There might be other miscellaneous quest items that you'll have to find. Everything in that regard is randomly placed, but the actual level layout never changes.
So was the tutorial as fucked up for you as it was for me?
In what way?
In the way that all the notifications for the tutorial came up at the wrong time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the same. Like, I kept getting, like, it would explain something to me, but it was either something I already did or something I was about to do next.
Yeah, exactly. That was constantly happening.
So I was kind of surprised that wasn't addressed in between the Steam and the console releases. Gameplay-wise, it's standard action-adventure hack-and-slash. Top-down view, run around dungeons, beating up enemies, collecting money to upgrade your character and upgrade your abilities. You don't use money to buy weapons. You just have one standard weapon through the whole game. When you kill enemies, you'll gain personal experience and weapon experience. As you gain weapon experience, ooh, it will... Huh?
I just went, ooh.
Dick. as you gain the weapon experience, your every level that you gain from the weapon, you'll be able to increase a variety of different stats, whether it's like attack damage, defense, your health point. Like, the only thing I have upgraded in this game has been my attack power. Because, as mentioned, this is a very easy game. It's time-consuming, and that you'll have to do a lot of runs through the same areas to accomplish side quests and whatnot. I have never felt my character was going to die. But I...
No. I actually have videos of, like, the first time I would run into a boss and I'd take them out with one hit.
Yeah, I have already killed bosses in a single hit, which is...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird. Like, this feels like baby's first Diablo at times.
It is rated for kids too. It's E10 and I think 7.
Yeah,
you know,
It's like people calling the Mario and Rabbids game baby's first XCOM. Like, it's not clearly not designed for babies. It just seems like an introductory game to this genre. And I think a lot of people were expecting more of a hardcore game out of this. But, you know, you have to accept the game for what it is, not what it isn't. And I am enjoying what's there with this game. I do have some gripes with some of the level layouts. A lot of the levels, like, especially the one... God, what the hell was it? Like, the ruins?
Yeah.
In particular, it just felt like backtracking constantly, like... Push a block onto a switch to open a door, to flip another switch to open a door that was right next to the first fucking switch that you were just by. It seems like just artificially lengthened. Later on in the game, there was like a kind of like a haunted, I don't know if it's haunted, but some rundown, dilapidated carnival mansion or something. And there were times where you had to push a block onto one of the switches, which most of the time they were fairly nearby. In this area, the blocks were like three rooms away, and your walking speed when pushing them is like a third of your normal speed. So there were a stretch of like a minute and a half where I'm just pushing a block to a different room.
And if you run into an enemy when you are moving that block and you let go of it, it warps back to its starting point.
Yeah, after a few seconds, it goes back.
Yeah. So if you don't kill those enemies with the quickness and get that block again, you're starting all over.
Yeah, it just felt like they tried too much to artificially lengthen the game, which irritated me. otherwise, it's a fairly enjoyable hack and slash beat 'em up kind of game. It's something that you could play with your kid. It does have local gameplay. It doesn't have any kind of online that I saw. It might get patched in. Who knows? I doubt it. I think the other complaint is the price of the game. It was, what, $30 on Steam?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's $40 on console. It is a decently long game. There's enough content in there, but it just feels too high for what it is. If you're someone who has the spare money and you're into games like this, and you know you want to get your kid into action RPGs and maybe get them to eventually play Diablo, like I'm sure Chris is going to do to his kids when he has them. it's a fun, enjoyable game. It has problems, and the price does feel kind of high for what's there. But you know, if you have the money, it's definitely worth a try. I'm really enjoying it. I do want to eventually see this one to the end. I wish that there wasn't so much dead time in the game of like just pushing the blocks in particular for as far as you had to in that mansion. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. One of the things that kind of killed me was you get the side quests from the other students in the concert hall, and there's only one.
Yeah.
It's just Hubert. Hubert roams around, and you hassle him for quests. Hubert has some shit luck because he's all time needing poison or fangs or something.
I lost my papers in the ruins.
I left my homework, you know, three worlds over. Sorry, dude. Please go get it for me.
How much traveling does that fucking kid do?
Well, I imagine he gets very bored by himself.
Well, from what I could tell, he's the only student in that place.
Only student in the whole school. You only see, other than Hubert and the characters you interact with in the concert hall, there's only one other NPC in the entire game at the very end.
Yeah, it's,
and you're like, that's not even spoilery because this guy does nothing except for tell you where the boss is. Like, he's just standing in the cold, and he won't even do that till you travel four other worlds away to go get him some lava.
Yeah, so,
yeah. It's like,
it definitely. I wish the game was more streamlined. I wish, like, even. Like, when you have to select an area to go to, it'll warp you to an airship, and then you have to then warp to the area, instead of just taking you to the area.
Yeah. So then you have two loading screens instead of one.
And the loading times in the game aren't the quickest. So it just feels artificially lengthened, which I would rather have a shorter, more concise game than to be feeling like I'm doing shit that I don't need to do.
I actually had all of my side quests completed before I even got to the end of the game. By like a good chunk of the way. As soon as I had all the areas opened up, I had already completed all the side quests.
Yeah, I just asked that dude for whatever quests, and then he's like, oh, I don't have anything to ask you. And I'm like, alright, then I'll continue with the story.
Yeah, one of the odd things that happened to me was he had gave me two different quests for poison, and then my main quest was also to get poison. And
I had that happen too.
The like, I picked up three bottles of poison and I knocked out the like 18 that I actually needed.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, well, bye. I just completed half the game, but whatever. I killed five frogs.
But that said, despite the price and the annoyances, I think it's still a really enjoyable game. And I, you know, if you got a kid and you want to get them into Diablo, this is a great starting point if you got the money for it. The $60 on PlayStation for like the avatars and the themes, you could probably skip that. Although the soundtrack is nice. I like the soundtrack. But yeah, Area, give it a try. Good stuff. Any questions?
No.
Cool. Next game to talk about is called Prevent the Fall, developed and published by DWS, released May 29th on Steam Early Access for $14.99, includes support for Vive and Oculus, but it is not required. Prevent the Fall is a role-playing game slash dungeon crawler. Advance through 20 character levels as you acquire items of power and attempt to conquer dungeons, which are a mixture of handcrafted and generated content. Both VR and non-VR and single-player or multiplayer co-op are supported. CJ, what did you think of Prevent the Fall?
What did I think of Prevent the Fall? What do you mean? What do you mean, oh no? Anyway, the first thing I had to say is think of Crypt of the Serpent King, but add more depth and change it to a third person perspective.
Okay.
Now there's Prevent the Fall. the game's interesting. It's your standard third person hack and slash game. There's not really a whole lot of variety to it. It's weird because rather than having any sort of freedom or ability to do much, you kind of just you go to a hub which you can barely move around in. There's like a tiny little square that you're allowed to move around in, and you just talk to the innkeeper and get a quest, and then you are immediately taken to that quest location. And as soon as you finish the quest, you can just explore the dungeon for a little bit or you can leave, but they're small little dungeons with just a small quest inside them, and that's the game. You can level yourself up, which is interesting. I mean, there's not a whole lot of changes to it. Like, when you level up, you can put a skill point into a different category. Even though the categories aren't exactly great at defining what they do. Like, the strength one's obvious. It's like, okay, you now do more damage. But then intelligence, it's like, what does intelligence have to do with anything? So I put a point into it, and it's like, this helps you with mana and magic damage. It's like, all right, why didn't it just say, all right, here, put a point into a mana or magic damage? Like, I don't understand why it has to be a little bit like cryptic about it. I want to know what I'm putting my stuff into. Aside from that, the game's not that bad. It's like, it plays well. It has some wonky controls. Like, in order to attack, you just press the with the right. You can actually have two different weapons at a time, because instead of like choosing one weapon that you want to use, you just equipped all of your weapons. And the only thing that ever gets replaced is if you get a new version of the same weapon. But otherwise, you can use the shoulder buttons to change which weapon is in each hand. And you attack with the A button, which is really odd, and or the X button for the left hand.
Should be triggers.
Well, here we go. There is a use for the triggers. You have multiple attacks, and if you hold the trigger and press B or X or Y, it'll do a different type of attack. And this is, so if you want to do a different kind of attack with the right weapon that you're holding, like maybe a sword, then you would press right trigger in Y. Or if you want to use a different kind of attack with the staff in the left hand, use left trigger and press one of those buttons. It's really weird, and it's an interesting way to get around the fact that controllers don't really have that many different buttons to use for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the most wonky and weird control scheme I've ever had to use in a game. Also, the jump button is Y. Like, why? And the jump is pointless anyway. It doesn't really do much. And in fact, it feels weird and sluggish to jump. It's kind of like that. It feels like the kind of thing that's like, you have a jump animation, but it feels like you're still on the ground in a sense.
No.
Like, it doesn't actually do anything. It's just, it gives you an animation of doing it. The enemies are a lot of the same. There's a lot of spiders. Like, you're going to be killing hundreds upon hundreds of spiders. And the boss for the first few areas is a larger spider, which is just like, okay. I think that the biggest problem I have with this game is just the fact that the screenshots make the game look so much better than it really looks.
Hmm.
It's very, like, graphically, it's ugly. It's like, it's not the worst you've ever seen, but it looks like it came out in 2008 or even earlier. Like, all the graphics are they're old, but they're not pretty old. Like, they're just ugly old. They look like they're just not very well designed. Like, they're kind of blurry, and you don't get to customize your character at all. Like, your character's just gonna be the same dude. The only change is just when you get armor, you put armor on. But you start out, everybody starts as the same dude. So it's like weird. There's no real story to the dude. There's no story to this game at all. In fact, it's just the quests.
Yeah. Well, it is still in early access, so it might be, you know, one of those situations where they're waiting to put the actual story in there until near the end. They're working on the mechanics and everything else first.
I don't really see them doing that, because it's a lot of, like, if you don't like the idea of doing that quest, you just choose a different, you can be like, all right, I want a different quest. Like, it's not really something that falls in order. There's just, like, do what you want. And with the VR aspect being included, I really think that this is more of, like, I don't want to say sandbox, but just, like, free to do what you want.
Yeah.
I think the game could have definitely been a lot more fun. I'm very glad that it is in early access, because at first when I was playing it, I was like, if this isn't in early access, this is not good. But it's in early access, which redeemed it a little bit. It's like, all right, they're still working on it. They have time.
They are planning to bring it out of early access by the end of the year. The actual date will vary by how smoothly the early access period goes. How will the full version differ? We will respond to user feedback and adjust accordingly while continuing to build and refine content. While our dungeons are partially generated, the layouts themselves are pre-generated so that light maps can be built to ensure maximum performance. Over the course of the early access, we will continue to add additional layouts, polish, balance, UI, and bug squashing are other areas that will be a heavy focus during the early access period. And they say that they reserve the right to raise the price at the end of early access. They are keeping their options open and no final determination has been made. So for the $15 they're asking now, what are your thoughts on this one?
There's not a lot of redeeming qualities to it. I gotta say, like, the best part is just that the gameplay works. Yeah. Like, it's not a horribly glitchy game. I will give them credit there. It's not a very glitchy game for early access. It's just, there's not a lot to it. And even saying that, this game does have more depth. Like, when I introduced it, I said it had more depth than Crypt of the Serpent King, but not much more. For the price, I feel like I gotta give it a hesitant try it.
What if you're a VR owner?
I wouldn't know, because I don't know how the VR version differs from, like, I'm assuming it'd be fine, but I haven't actually played it in VR to be able to say, like, the VR works well, because if it works anything like how the normal version works, it's not going to be great.
No. I'm curious what the VR stuff in here is.
Yeah, I don't really know what to expect from the VR, because I don't have the $800 or $600 to drop on an Oculus Vive or whatever.
So I'm guessing this doesn't seem like something to drop the money on now. Maybe wait a couple of months and see how it develops. Yeah.
If you look at this game and you still have interest, even after what I've said, I would just wait and see what read the update notes every time they drop an update and see what's going on. See if the game is improving. Watch gameplay online and just check it out. Make sure that the game's getting better, because as it currently stands, I don't believe it's worth the $15.
Hey, makes sense. Hopefully they'll improve it. That's what early access is for. Hopefully they'll hear the complaints, they'll add more of a story. Again, I know a lot of developers hold out on big chunks of the story in early access because they don't want to give everything away right away before the game is finished.
Everything and nothing are very two different words.
True. I know one of the Xbox games we'll be covering soon on one of our upcoming shows, Ghost of a Tale, that's in game preview on Xbox, and the developer said, like, story-wise, there's only about 45% of it there right now.
So, yep.
Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is called Goliath, developed by Whalebox, published by eHome Entertainment, and released June 30th on Xbox One for $14.99, previously available on Steam, and an PS4 version is planned as well. After stumbling through a mysterious rift, you find yourself in a mysterious world consisting of the jumbled fragments of 100 dead civilizations. Several powerful factions battle for control of the strange and broken land, but even the strongest among them tremble in fear of the monstrous giants that roam the land. Fortunately, you can build giants of your own. Search the world for the items you need to craft tools and weapons that will help you even the odds against the enormous creatures you confront. This is a really, really interesting mix of, like, survival games as well as, once again, like, isometric action-adventure Diablo-style gameplay, but more of an open world. You start off just as the playable character, and you have to collect different, you know, like, cut down trees and bushes and collect twigs and logs to eventually create a camp. In the camp, you could eventually create, you know, you're talking with someone else who is describing his area of the planet he's on, and you come to find out that all these worlds are just rotating around each other, and the world is just fractured up, and you need to eventually find your way to him, and you talk with him and come to the realization that you can build giant Goliath creatures, and you'll eventually create a Goliath station in your camp, as well as you can end up making, like, a weapon station and other just crafting areas that you could create weapons or healing items or other various items to create other various items, because the wonders of crafting. And then the big meat of the gameplay is traversing the different areas, finding quests that you have to undertake and defeat monsters and visit various dungeons. Gameplay wise, it's, you know, standard third-person action-adventure style game. The Goliaths, depending on the style that you make, because there's a handful of different Goliaths in the game, they'll have different abilities. You can equip them with different weapons. Weapons will have elemental properties depending on the area that you're in, because you can be in, like, a forested area in one level, and the next level that you're in is, like, a snow world followed by a desert world. And you have to be mindful of the world you're in with the Goliath that you're in. If you have, if one of your Goliaths has ice properties to it, like you have an ice body or ice arms or something, and you go to a desert, your Goliath could just start taking damage being there. Like, not even fighting anything, just where you are can damage you. Because, you know, ice melts. In a desert. So, I have some gripes with the game. One of the biggest gripes is that you can tell this was developed with PC in mind. It's very complex with the controls in the game. You're constantly, like, to switch Goliaths, you have to hold the bumper, then use the stick to pick one of the three Goliaths, or revert back to just the human character and, I don't know where you're hiding the Goliaths, actually. If you have a backpack or something.
They're in your ass.
Possibly. You never know. even when you are the Goliath, the face buttons are your various attacks, and then you'll have to hold a trigger down to access different, more powerful attacks or special attacks. The other trigger is like a ranged shooting attack. It just feels like this is a lot of stuff that was designed with a keyboard in mind, so that you have hotkeys for everything. The menu interface is very, very small. Like, I'll open my inventory, and I have to squint and, like, get up close to my monitor to see, like, how many of an item I have or what the items are. It's very small. It doesn't seem like the UI was well retrofitted for console, or for being on a TV that you're far away from instead of being, like, 4 inches away from a monitor. Gameplay itself, it is fairly difficult. I have found a lot of times where I'll be fighting even like tiny little duck creatures. You know, you're fighting one, two, three, four, even five of them at a time, and you're not having any kind of problems. But if you wander into an area and you know, there might be a couple more hiding in the trees, you attack one and like 30 of them come charging at you, they're going to take down a giant Goliath fairly easily. You do have special attacks. Like, I know my wood Goliath, I'll use his whirlwind attack. Oh, his whirlwind attack constantly when I'm around smaller enemies. But even some of the larger beasts, like there's kind of like giant bull type creatures, and fighting one of them is difficult enough because they have a charge attack that will knock you down. But if you're fighting more than one at a time, and I've already had fights where I'm going up against like five of them, one will knock you down, you stand up, another knocks you down, you stand up, another knocks you down, you stand up, another knocks you... Like, you get juggled like crazy in some of these battles. And I shouldn't have to find ways to, like, cheese the enemies where they'll be on the other side of a wall and I'm attacking through the wall and just barely clipping them. It's a cheap way to take them out, but sometimes that's the only way to actually take them out because they just seem so overpowered. The game also doesn't really teach you as much as you need to be taught. There were, like, it was a couple hours into the game before I realized that my Goliath could equip a weapon.
Wow.
I didn't know.
That's hilarious.
Like, I saw these items in a shop that's like a sword. Who the fuck? Oh my God, my Goliath can equip a sword or like an axe or just, I had no idea for the longest time. And I was fighting these monsters with just my fists trying to beat them away. And, you know, as soon as I equipped the weapon, I'm like, wow, this is significantly easier. Even the weapons have like varying degrees of power, I guess, from like a standard to like a mighty or a majestic axe or something. So you have to pay attention to the descriptor of the item, and then they will also have elemental properties. Sometimes you have to make sure that you have the proper weapon equipped based on where you are, because, you know, you might be fighting an enemy and you'll have like a flame weapon equipped and you'll attack an enemy and it just heals them.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you can go into a situation where you're like, oh, there's a bunch of enemies here, I could take them out, and you go to attack them, and you just heal them, and then they beat the shit out of you. So, it's... There's a lot of planning and a lot of strategy in the game, a lot of crafting to do. It doesn't feel like the crafting is necessary at all times. Like, I've already had situations where my inventory is packed and I don't know what I need and what I don't need, but I'm afraid to get rid of stuff because I might need it for something. Like, the only thing I've been consistently getting rid of is stuff like dynamite and landmines, because I'll just beat up monsters instead of trying to plant mines and traps and shit like that. And I would sell them to just buy repair kits for my Goliaths, because they take so much damage from some of the encounters where, you know, some areas, the one dungeon I was in, there were mines on the ground, there were like 10 spiders attacking me from three different nests that they could respawn from while hitting these mines and them exploding and damaging me. And if you're not paying attention to your health and mashing away at these repair kits, you know, you can die in seconds, or your Goliath will get destroyed in seconds. And if your Goliath is gone, you can store up to three of them on you. Again, assuming they're just up your ass.
Those pills.
Once those are gone, like, if you don't have any more, you're fucked. Like, you have a stealth ability to hide and get away from things, but you'll have to, you know, activate the ability, try running through an area and then hiding again, wait for your ability to recharge, use it again, hightail it through an area, hide again. It just seems very, I don't want to say it's difficult, because for the most part they aren't. It just, when the enemies are stacked against you it's such an uphill battle to try and fight your way out of, because you just get swarmed and overwhelmed. All that said, like, I'm having a lot of fun with the game, despite the issues. $15, I think, is a great price for the game. It's low enough that it's an easy game to get into and drop the money and see if it's for you or not. It's varied enough between the different areas you go to and the different quests and missions that you have to accomplish. If you're into crafting, you can fuck around with the crafting a lot. If you're not, it's, you know, you don't need to do it that much. Clearly, sometimes you're going to have to craft certain items, and you're going to have to craft certain Goliaths for certain areas that you're in, or for certain things that you have to do in the game. Like, there was the one desert I was in, there were trees on fire, and I had to use a stone golem to destroy the trees on fire because the wooden one would catch fire, clearly. Which, you know, makes sense because wood burns. There's lots to unlock in the game in terms of each Goliath has different elemental body parts that they can equip that you have to earn through either destroying a certain number of enemies in certain ways or completing certain quests. There's just the amount of depth in the game is insane if you want to find it all. You don't have to. A lot of it is purely optional, but it's there if you want to find it. I do wish the UI was tailored to console a little bit better. Again, like the inventory, it's just so hard to read sometimes and to see how much of an item you have. Overall, it's fun though. I have to give it a recommended try. It is a lot of fun despite all the gripes I have with it. I do want to put more time into it and maybe give an update next week on the show just because of how much is there. And I honestly feel like I've barely scratched the surface despite the fact that I've put like 6 hours or something into the game already. And I feel like I haven't done anything. It is fun though. I really like it.
I can't tell if I'm alive anymore.
I couldn't tell if either of you were alive for how quiet it is.
I'm so dead.
Y'all are terrible at conversation when I'm doing reviews.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm tired.
Like, I try asking you shit during reviews to keep a conversation going, and I feel like I'm just rambling to no one.
Well, I haven't played that yet.
How do you spell Goliath?
G-O fuck yourself.
I haven't played Goliath, but I do have it set to install tonight, so...
Hey, actually, she fucking put in the work on Aria, so I don't want to fucking hear it.
I did. I put in the work. CJ didn't put in the work. You can bitch at CJ.
Yeah, oh, shut up. I was just defending you, you cunt.
I know, but you're mean to me so much, I had to take an opportunity.
Well, my guard is down. That's when you want to attack.
I'm not defending you, CJ. You deserve everything that you're getting.
Shut the fuck up. I don't care.
I'm just poking at you with my cane. You are making fun of me for stuttering, and I can't help that shit. I have a disease.
No, I made fun of you because of how high your voice got.
You did, see?
Anyway, for a show that we had nothing to talk about, this one went on really long, so we're going to wrap it up here. Music this episode is going to be from our good friend Stemmage. He just released a brand new EP called Retrofitted, which is a handful of game remixes played in reverse. Like, the Mario theme arranged in reverse. There's four songs, and there's even, like, reversed versions of the songs to hear them played, like, normally, but the instruments are in it's really cool. It's interesting. So we're going to play a couple of songs from that, probably some other Stemmage songs as well, just because Stemmage is good. We like Stemmage. So, yeah, that's it. That's the show. Someone give some final words and end this.
DJ's mean.
We'll be right back.